سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله نعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا أنصار الله. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الله سبحانه وتعالى is speaking regarding those people who choose to sit down when ordered for struggle. And these people, there is a certain group of people that choose and they prefer to remain at home, away from problems, away from issues. They hide themselves. There are many reasons behind why they do that, and we will go into that to see how these people and why these people are like this. But yesterday you heard how harshly Allah had condemned these people and says to the Prophet that وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا. He says that if these people die, do not pray on them. Tell that if these people they die, do not pray on them. وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ. And do not stand by their graves. You know, I mean, such harshly Allah has dealt with people who do not show up when they are asked to do so, and they remain silent. So they see that the two sides are fighting. They do not go to help the side or any side. They are irrelevant to both sides. They are irrelevant to both sides. And hence now, these people, they feel that they are away from these type of problems of being attached with any group. Now, you see, one of the problems with this group that happens, and this is what you want to know about this group. These are people who stay away from politics, from choosing a side when there is fitna that is happening, and these people stay at home, and they avoid any type of problems. Now, the problem with this group is that they are immensely respected by people. You see, they are immensely respected by people, not by believers, because Allah has already condemned them. Allah has already condemned these people. So if you see a person who doesn't take part in anything and he just avoids everything, you know this guy is a troublemaker.
Ya Allah.
Right?
Ya Allah.
If he tries to be too decent, that's a problem.
Ya Allah.
Right? He has to be a little bit dirty.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
That's
right. If he's a believer, he has to be a little bit dirty.
Yeah,
you know? And he has to be involved in something, and he has to get his hands dirty in the work that has to be done. You know? So the fact is that if you see someone too clean, and if you see someone, you know, just you're doing that extra thing to prove that he is more religious than you are. So here we see that these people, you know, as a mu'min, that Allah has condemned them. You know, so you look at these people and say that you pray to Allah so much, but Allah is telling the Prophet not to pray on you. See that? Not to pray on you. I mean, what kind of prayer are you praying that is deserving this condemnation that the Prophet is not going to pray on you? You know, the fact is, my brothers, these people, this group, obviously, is not respected by believers. But when believers are opposed by others, on the other side, others have an immense respect for these type of people who do not partake in politics.
So right.
You know, they have such respect for these people. And you look at them and they say, you know, I mean, he is such a good person. He never gets involved in anything. You know? You see that? It is something respectful. And these people are respected by the people of batil and falsehood. These people are highly respected because they do not partake in anything that has to do with society or politics. You see that? So now what happens, when you look at these people, now to deal with them, now people will condemn you if you start to speak about them. They'll start to condemn you. They'll say, oh, he's such a holy person. He's such a religious person. He's such a saintly person. And you say these things about him. That's blasphemous. So now, what happens with these people, even though they don't involve themselves, but that's not completely true. These holy people, right, and sacred people who walk around with a halo on their head, these people, it's true, they don't get involved until they are pushed into it. And you see that they do get involved at the end. And when they do get involved at the end, they tilt the boat or they tilt the weight to the side of batin.
Ya Allah.
Right? They always tilt the scale to the side of batin and falsehood. Because the fact goes back again, because when they come between the people of truth and the people of falsehood, the people of truth, they have a problem. And the problem is that they don't lie, they don't cheat, and they don't deceive. The people who are in the batil, they're not afraid to lie, they're not afraid to cheat, nor they're afraid to deceive. And they do deceive. Because these people are not smart, and because these people are foolish, they are guiled by the people of batil, and they tip the scale to their side. This is how it happens, my brother. So Imam Ali is saying, and Allah is saying, that these are people that are condemned by Allah. We know that they are condemned. We know that these people who think that they're being smart, right, that they don't get involved in all the action that's going on and they keep their clothes clean. But you see what happened? Allah is saying, no, these people are condemned. So now, when we look back, you see that this is in the time of early Islam, this group at the time of the Prophet was really so small that it was irrelevant. At the time of the Prophet, he was irrelevant. But after the time of, after the death of the Prophet, you see that this group, the sleepers, right, this group slowly began to increase. Now the reasons for it increase is a lot of things, you know, and here Allah also mentions one of those reasons. He says about the people who ask the Prophet for permission that they may sit at home. So Allah describes them with this term, this description. He says, ulul tawl. Ulul tawl are people who have abundance of means, meaning they are extremely rich. People who are extremely rich came to the Prophet and asked them for permission to stay back, that they will help with their money, but they don't want to go. You know? All the money, okay, here, you take some money, you know, we don't want to go because, I mean, we're too rich to die. You know? So, whatever the case was, you see, Allah is saying that this ulul tawl, that these rich people, abundantly rich people, this, these are the people who make up these excuses. So, one of the things, one of the reasons that people became like this, or they increased the numbers when people started becoming rich. When they started becoming rich and were living lives that were too comfortable, so now they got used to comfort. So that when they were asked to struggle and they were asked to do hard work, they couldn't because now their lifestyles are not used to it. So you see that these people wanted to stay away from these type of things so they can live their lives the way they want to. This is one of the reasons why it happens. And it's not just that, right? Once these people they get about and they try to increase their numbers. The reason they increase their numbers is not only because of just becoming rich. They increase their numbers because they make their way of life into an ideology. And they impress the people by making it a religion and justifying it as Islamic. You know? You even see that amongst believers. You know, when you, like for example, it is a well-known thing among Shias, right? That for example, whenever you see a Shia who doesn't get involved in politics. You know, so, you know, I mean, if you make a mistake, at least admit and say that I'm weak, that's why I don't get involved. Alhamdulillah, I was going to blame you for that. You know, I was going to say that. I mean, I'm not going to say anything to you. Okay. Right? Alright. You know, I mean, you know, inshallah, may Allah improve you and may Allah, he'll make dua for you. You know, Allah make you stronger. But no, they don't admit to the fact that they are weak. They will justify their actions as being Islamic. Right? So now when these religious people who don't take part in politics and say that, oh, you know, all these things are bad, horrible, all these things, right? So they say all these things, right? So now you ask them, well, why are you taking part in politics? Now, instead of saying they're weak, what do they say? Oh, you see, Imam Hassan made treaty. So their weakness, they blame on Imam Hassan. Instead of trying to look at the reality and say that, you know what, I am a useless person, that's why I don't take part. They give this bad image to Imam Hassan, like he didn't want to fight, he was so scared that he gave it over to Muawiyah. I mean, imagine that. What kind of, this is called Barney Islam. This is exactly what you call Barney Islam. Right? You know, when you change a T-Rex to a baby doll, right, it becomes Barney Islam. Right? When you change a strong thing into a weak thing, it's called Barney Islam. Islam is supposed to be strong and you make it weak. Right? And that's the image you give it. So what happens? This is the Islam you have. So now they justify their actions.
Yes, sir.
Right? They justify their actions by making it Islamic, making it look Islamic. Imagine that. So now what happens? These are the people that you have to be careful of. Why? Because as a believer, who is a true believer, when he looks at them, he sees the verses of Allah and says, you know, I feel bad for you. You know, that the Prophet is not going to pray on you. You know, you are condemned by Allah. But the idiots amongst the believers, they have a different view. They look at them and say, oh, these people are holy. They never get involved in anything. How and when did never getting involved in anything become respectable?
Teach us.
I mean, when did not getting involved become honorable in Islam? Imagine that. This is something that we need to understand. So now they become respectable. So now when they are respectable, they hold this high place. Now in the masjid you see someone who is very holy. And he never takes part in anything. You know? And when there is an issue that comes up, now you see the people in the wrong, they go to him and say, we need you to come with us so that you can testify. And when he comes in the middle, now they say, well, you know, he's a person who is neutral and he is clean and alhamdulillah, he's holy. He's not involved in anything. And now if I say that, listen, this holy man of yours is worse than you are.
Teach us.
Is worse than you are. They're like, astaghfirullah, how can you say that? This is ghibah. How is it ghibah? He's sitting right here. I mean, are we going to use the book of Allah to judge between us? Right? Or are we going to use our opinions to judge between us?
Teach us.
If Allah is saying that these people are condemned, why shouldn't I condemn them?
Ya Allah.
Right? I'm not condemning as a person, I'm condemning his actions. He was never involved, he was in the masjid for what, 10 years, and never involved in anything, and now he comes, and now he wants to give a witness and a verdict of who's right and wrong? No, that's not going to work. You know, that's not going to work. Right? We're not going to have that. Where was he when we were struggling? Where was he in all the hard times we were going through? And all the work that we were doing, where was this guy? And now he comes all of a sudden with a clean slate and says, I'm going to make a verdict. Right? If you are right or wrong. See, my brothers, this is what happens. People like this are dangerous because of the fact that most people respect these people. And they will take their word. And these people, you see, when they speak, because of the fact that they are not smart, they are not wise, they will always speak foolishly. And they will say things incorrectly and inaccurately. You know? We see that in the time of Imam Ali, when he became the Khalifa, you know, he, you know, and Aisha was making her army. Right? Aisha was making her army and she was there, you know, getting people together. Imam Ali saw the danger. You know, this battle going to take place, and Imam Ali, as the leader of the Muslims, sent Ammar Yasir to Kufa. He sent him to Kufa. And he went to Kufa to invite the people and say that like Amirul Mu'mineen is inviting you all, that he needs your help in order to hide off this rebellion. You are the Muslim army. Now he came to the army town, the army base, which is Kufa, right, to the people there. Now, the people, you know, when they heard Ammar Yasir, you know, they were like, okay, you know, he is the Khalifa of the Muslims. We need to listen to him. Okay. But there are others who said, wait a minute. Who is he fighting? The wife of the Prophet? They said, before we make a decision like this, we need the approval of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. Now who's Abu Musa al-Ash'ari? Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was the holy man of Kufa. He is the holy man of Kufa. You know, he is the guy, you know, who was in the masjid all the time with a big beard and, you know, this thing and always making dhikr, you know. And like, you know, and you know, so everyone is like, has so much respect for him, says, if he tells us to go to fight, we'll go to fight. On one hand, Imam Ali is asking them. And on the other hand, they are saying, no, if he approves, we'll listen to Ali. You see, if we listen to this holy man, if he says yes, then we'll go there. So now, obviously, right, the holy man is invited from his house. See, everyone's in the masjid. This whole argument is taking place in the masjid. So this Abu Musa al-Ash'ari is in his house. Right, so they say, okay, let's call the man. You know, they call Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and he comes there, you know, acting all humble and righteous. So he moves into the masjid and everyone's like, oh, he's here. You know, he's here. So now what happens is that they say, well, you know, this is the situation and the leader of the Muslims, he is calling the people to come to defend Islam and Muslims. Yeah, but, and you know, who is he fighting with? Aisha, oh, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. What happened? Why astaghfirullah? Well, you see, on one hand, you know, Ali, he's respected, he's the Khalifa Muslim. On the other hand, is the wife of the Prophet. So, both of them are respectful for us, and we should not get involved in this, so we should not go. So, we should not go. Because both sides are respected, and I think that we should be away from this fight. We are not involved in this fight. Now, imagine this, my brothers and sisters. This is what happens, right? These people, now, this guy, if you ask him, listen, man, you know, on what basis are you saying this? On what basis are you trying to say this? Well, because, you know, like for example, even if he said, on one hand, Ali is the leader of the Muslims. So as a leader of the Muslims, do you obey the leader or not? I mean, even in your warped ideology, if there's a leader, and if you don't obey him, what happens? It's called anarchy. Right? It's called anarchy. That's what happens. Right? Imam Ali made this clear. He said it's better to have a bad leader than no leader. It's better to have a bad leader. At least you know that you're going somewhere. Having a no leader, it's anarchy. It'll be anarchy. So what happens is that having a leader, if the leader is asking you to come, if he's saying that you should come and fight, then if you don't obey him, there's going to be anarchy in the Muslim world. And why are you saying not to fight Aisha? Well, because she is Ummul Mu'mineen. She's the mother of the believers. Right? She's the mother of the believers. Now, obviously, he didn't understand the fact that mother of the believers, what does it mean?
Teach us.
What does mother of the believer means? You know? I mean, even if you take it literally, she says that she's your mother. I mean, the reason it's there is just to say that since your mother, right, your mother is haram for you to marry. Just like that, the wives of the Prophet are your mothers. They are haram for you to marry. That's why the ayat is there. That's the only reason the ayat is there. Right? But now what they make it out into. Understand? Now what they make it out into. What does it mean? Oh, she's our mother. But what does mother mean? Did Allah say, even your own mother, did Allah say to obey her all the time? Allah said to obey the mother, to obey the father when? When they are telling you that which Allah says. But if they are asking you to disobey Allah, Allah says do not obey them. Do not obey them. The fact is, how clear can Allah make it for us? Right? So now, obviously the holy man, you know, it usually happens that these holy people are quite dumb. They don't have that much intelligence, you know, because they're never involved in doing actually anything useful. Right? They're always been working on useless things. Right? And hence, you know, they end up doing what? They end up becoming a nuisance and a problem. Right? And they end up hurting the truth more than those people who want to hurt the truth. So here's Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he says, no, we cannot fight. And all the people, they tell Ammar al-Yasir, who was a companion of the Prophet, a respected companion of the Prophet, whose mother was the first woman who was shaheed in Islam. Ammar al-Yasir. And now you see, this Ammar al-Yasir is rejected by the people, and they ask him that, you know what, go back and tell Ali that we are not coming. You know? Go back and tell Ali we are not coming. So now what happens is this. When Ammar al-Yasir comes back to Imam Ali, and Imam Ali heard what happened, now Imam Ali gives this mission to Malik Ashtar. He gives the mission to Malik Ashtar. You know, maybe they did not understand the eloquence of Ammar. So let's see if they understand the eloquence of Malik.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Right? So now what happens is that Malik Ashtar now goes, and you know, I mean, you know, everyone has a different way of doing things. Both are respected by Imam Ali. Imam Ali respects Ammar, Imam Ali respects Malik. Sometimes Ammar is useful, sometimes Malik is useful. You need to see which way is useful at which time. So when Ammar didn't work, Ali sent Malik. He said, maybe this way will work. So Ammar went to the masjid, argued with the people, right? He went there, argued with the people and said, you should come. And the old holy man, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, right? He came and he said, no. So now obviously Malik, when he went there, he didn't go to the people. Malik went straight to the house of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. He went straight to the house of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, went into his house, took Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, dragged him to the courtyard, put a sword on his neck, and said, hey, are you going to come or not? See, are you going to come or not? I mean, listen, this is the leader of the Muslim who is saying this. There's no, you know, optional thing for you. You know? He said, go on. Are you going to tell the people to come out? Are you going to tell the people to come out? No? You know what? He said, okay, I will. You know? And you know what Malik said? Just, I want you to pay attention to this. You know what Malik said? He said, you know, I laugh at those people who make a leader such that when he faces death, he changes his old religion. Just because the sword is on your neck, you change your whole deen, your whole religion.
New philosophies.
Wow.
I mean, you said no, then just because you're going to die, you change your whole thing? Is that your faith? That's it? That's all you have? Imagine that. These are the people. This is the reality of people. These people are like that. When they at first they don't open their mouth. When they open their mouth, they will always put their foot in their mouth. They'll say something that's stupid. And now what happened is that, right? They still remain, but the problem is they still remain respected in the eyes of idiots. Yeah, you look at those people, they still are respected by them. And the same Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, you see, was the one that when the people, they told Imam Ali to stop the war, and Imam Ali had to stop the war, right? And they said, you know, that we are going to do arbitration. Which means that Muawiyah is going to send one person and Ali is going to send one person. And both of them will decide what to do. Right? About this. Okay. You know, so what happened is that Muawiyah knew who he was sending. I mean, his right-hand guy was Amr ibn As, who was, least to say, really clever. Right? And, he used to fool Imam Ali's army with drums. You know? One night, you know, when Imam Ali's army was occupying the river, he had to move Imam Ali's army from the river. So he had his whole army beating drums. And he sent a letter with an arrow, right? A letter into the army of Imam Ali. And the letter read that we are changing the course of the river and it's coming
towards you.
Through your camp. Mm-hmm. And you'll be drowned. And the army, they all read this, the men read this, and they say, we're going to be drowned. They're changing the course of the river. And others were saying, what are you talking about? Don't you see the sounds? They're doing it. The water is going to come here any minute. And they all started to run away. They left their camp and they ran away. Right? So, this was Amr ibn As. So, on the side of Muawiyah, he had Amr ibn As. And on the side of Imam Ali, he wanted to send Malik Yashtar. But now I want you to see. Here is where these people come in. Now the people said, no, we don't want Malik Yashtar. We want someone who's going to create peace.
What?
We want someone who's going to make peace. And hence, we don't want him, we want the old holy man. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. He goes, Imam Ali says, but he's my arbitrator, not yours. He said, no, that's the person you're going to send and that's it.
Man.
You see, now Imam Ali is like, you know, at first he wasn't agreeing to arbitration. Right? And next, now they won't let him appoint the person who should represent him. And they forced him to appoint Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. This Abu Musa al-Ash'ari now goes, and this meeting is held in one place where the two arbitrators will go and they will discuss until they make a solution for the Muslim Ummah. All the Muslim leaders are waiting in the masjid. These two go inside there, and all Amr ibn As says is, you know, I am honored to be with a holy person like you. I am beneath your greatness.
Well,
I apologize for even speaking in front of you. You are such a holy person.
Badri.
And obviously, you know, the holy man is like, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. You're right. You know? So now what happened is that, I think that both Ali and Muawiyah are the cause of the problems for Muslims. And we should get rid of both of them. Right? We should get rid of both of them and leave the affairs in the hands of Muslims and let them choose who they want. These two are the problems. It's a personal fight between these two. Let's get rid of both of them. And Abu Musa al-Ashari is like, I think it's a great idea. It's a perfect idea. You know, it's peace for everyone and we'll all live happily ever after. So they came to the masjid, everyone was there. And here, you see, Imam Ali had given specific instructions that let Amr ibn As speak first. Do not speak before him. He gave that instruction to his man, Abu Musa al-Ashari. But when they reached the minbar, Amr ibn As said, please, go ahead. He said, no, you go ahead. He says, astaghfirullah, I can never go before a leader like you. You are a scholar. I dread to think that I would walk in front of you. You know? Abu Musa al-Ashari is like, you know, I mean, they're giving me so much honor and respect, you know. So he goes on top of the member and he says to the people that as the representative of Ali, as I take the ring out of my finger, I absolve Ali of being a ruler. Meaning I remove him from leadership.
No, no.
I remove him from leadership. And the loudest one to recite salawat was Amr ibn As. Allahumma sallallahu. He recited that big old salawat and really got the people, you know. And then now it's his turn. Now he goes down and says, okay, you go. And Amr ibn As goes there and says, as you heard my friend and companion say that he has removed Ali from being a leader, I, as a representative of Muawiyah, reinstate him as the leader. So now the leader of all the Muslims is Muawiyah. That's it. Now there's chaos. How did that happen? And all these things. You see, now what happened, my brothers? Now you see the problem Imam Ali's faced with. When you have, these are the people, the sleepers, the one who are respected in the eyes of people, the one who hide away from things. Right? When they come in the forefront, you see these are the people who bring problem to the truth.
Teach us.
These are the people who bring that problem to the truth. And you see, this person now created that situation. Imam Ali obviously rejected the arbitration. He said it had nothing to do with the Quran. You did not use any principle of the Quran to see why this is happening. It's all your personal opinion. It cannot be accepted because it's not based on the Quran. But you see, the damage had been done. And it's been done by those people who remain quiet and earn the respect of people.
Yes,
so when they come to that point, they are put in the position of making a verdict between right and wrong. And they end up hurting the truth. This is the reason Allah is saying that these are people that are condemned by Allah. And if you see the words, how Allah uses it, just the last one or two ayat, so that we understand what these people are. Right? They say that Allah is saying that they prefer to be with the women, children, and weaklings. Right? And follow their hearts, even though they do not understand. Right? And, you know, like for example, he says, that these people, right, that these people, they ask you for permission to stay, let them know that Allah that Allah is, He regards them as this action of theirs as being kufr. In other words, Allah is saying that these people are kuffar, these people are infidels for sitting at home and not being there with the Prophet. So anyone who fits that ideology, who fits that character, you know, these are people who are there to destroy the truth. We have to be so aware of those type of people. You know, they come and you'll see them that they have no involvement in anything. Listen, the only time you can have no involvement or you cannot take a side is if you are falsehood. The difference between truth and falsehood and being on the truth and falsehood is that in order to be with the truth, you have to take a side.
Teach us.
Those who take the wrong side or those who don't take any side at all, they are falsehood. They cannot be the truth.
Ya Allah. Wow. Like Allah.
Being with the truth means that you take a side. And if you're not on the side of Allah, then you're on the side of shaitan. You cannot be on the side of haq and truth by default. You cannot be on the truth by rejecting shaitan, saying, I rejected shaitan, so I'm with Allah. No. You cannot be with Allah by rejecting shaitan. You cannot be with Allah just by rejecting falsehood. It means that you don't have a stand. Allah says, and Islam is letting us know that you are not with Islam until you take the side with Islam. So as a Muslim, you have already taken a side. When you said La ilaha illallah, you already took a side. So when you took a side, that means that there is another side that you are opposing. If you are on Allah's side, you cannot mingle and you cannot be okay with a side that is wrong. So those people who stay at home, they are saying, okay, we are not with this side, we are not with that side, we are not involved in politics. Those who are not involved in politics, these are the people that are condemned by Allah.
Subhanallah.
Those who don't take part in politics, they are the people who are condemned by Allah. And those who say that Islam does not have politics, they are the people upon whom is the curse of Allah.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. Subhanallah.
Teach us.
So if you hear from any scholar that says Islam is not politics, then tell him that you are a soldier of shaitan, you are not a soldier of Allah. You see that? You are a shoulder of shaitan because Allah does not say that. It is shaitan who is saying that. Allah says, no, you have already taken a side. I'm sorry, you are already taken a side. Your candidate is the imam and you are campaigning for him.
Subhanallah.
So don't say I don't have any sides and I, you know, like, what are you trying to say? You have no imam? You have no imam? If you have an imam, you're campaigning for him, you're propagating his deen. You already have a side, Allah gave you a side. Now you can choose not to be on that side, that's fine. But don't say that you are a believer of the imam and say that the imam has no stand. No, the imam has a stand. Allah has a stand. Do not try to play games with Islam.
That's right.
Right. Do not try to say that Imam Hassan made a peace treaty. Imam Hassan made peace treaty just because people like you didn't have the courage to stand with him. He made a treaty because you didn't have the guts to leave your wife and children and the comfort of your home and be out there with the imam. So, you know, the question will be asked is not why Imam Hassan made a peace treaty. The question that will be asked is that why was he left alone there in order that he had to make a peace treaty? You left them alone, and people like you left them alone who say that Islam has no politics.
SubhanAllah.
You left the Imam alone, and now you come to us and say, no, we don't deal with politics. You know, Iran and Ayatollah Khamenei and these people are, you know, too political. But what are you going to say when the Imam will come?
Huh.
Oh, that's different. Oh, yes, overnight you are going to change.
That was sort of it,
that overnight when the Imam will come, next day you will be a new man.
Yeah, Imam.
Right, you know, right there, just like that, your whole life worth of ideology is going to change overnight. It does if one puts a sword on your neck.
That's what it is.
But remember, the sword that will be on the neck of yours will not be from Shaitan, it will be the Imam's sword.
SubhanAllah.
This is, inshallah, you know, I think enough for us to understand people who are asleep. Right? And fortunately, I don't see them in this crowd today.
Exactly.
I don't see them in this crowd today, you know. And in fact, it would have been more useful if they were in this crowd. What I see amongst here are people who are alive.
SubhanAllah.
And who I know that they have taken aside.
SubhanAllah.
Right? This is what we as a mu'min is about. A mu'min has taken aside. This is his side. Haq is his side. Imam is his candidate. They are the ones who are contending for
him.
That's it. This is what we know of. And inshallah, we ask Allah to keep us that way. We ask Him to hasten the reappearance of our Iman, to make us His helper when He comes.
Allah Yahmi.
Wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
If you all have any questions, inshallah, go ahead. Not tonight, inshallah. Salawat.
There were 9 additional people in the stream, but the stream was slow.
He's the best. I'm going to talk
about it. I need some rest.